This is the Water Boys podcast presented by Crossing Broad. Hello, everybody. I am Coach Gary. With me this week is your good old dear Uncle Coggin, winner of the Wildfire podcast bracket of Let's Go to the Phones and Crossing Broad. Coggin, welcome to the Water Boys podcast.
Coach Gary, a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me, filling in for Kyle.
Yes, who is gallivanting Spain? Around Europe. Yeah, he's out there gallivanting around doing white girl things.
In España?
Mm-hmm.
I like that you led off with the Wildfire podcasting championship. I'm going to have to put that on my resume.
You really should. It's not often we get championship podcast hosts to come on and co-host. So let me ask you something.
It's prestigious. It's a prestigious title, Gary.
I've really considered, like, there's like that fantasyjocks.com where you can go on and buy a banner. I've really considered just buying you a banner and sending it to you so you can hang it up.
You know, my co-hosts would, I'm sure they would love that. I don't think my wife would let me put a podcast championship. Maybe somewhere in the basement she'd let me put a banner.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I got my own little area of the basement down here. I'm just hidden. I get to have all my hobbies around me until, of course, that. Like, I can't use it anymore. And I'm assuming it'll just be taken away at some point. But
you got your axe on the back.
Yeah, a little Les Paul studio back there, a little Fender acoustic, golf clubs over there. It looks, you know, just surrounded by my hobbies. I'm a man of many tastes.
What's the poster back there? That's me
holding the Lombardi trophy.
Ah, very
some
nice.
People say it's narcissistic. I say it's, you know, I'm just really inspired by myself.
How
my
are you
greatness.
Not going to have a poster of yourself holding the Lombardi trophy? You'd be weird if you didn't.
Sadly, that's a fake Lombardi trophy, but I celebrated like it was real when they handed it to me. So
at an old job, they brought a replica of the Lombardi trophy after the Eagles won. And I held that thing with reverence that I since only held something like my newborn son. I held that as delicately as the first time that I held my now 6-year-old son.
Yeah. So then the best part about that story is that's clearly at 97.5 Fan Fest. So I was a nerd that did go to one of those at one point. I think I won tickets. And I'm like, I'm going to go. It's not a bad time.
No. Did it just smell like salon? I just feel like you go there and just like you just smells of cured meats throughout the crowd.
It's a lot of dudes who love sports, and then there's like the 7 guys who show up in Cowboys outfits and get booed the entire time.
We're getting way off topic, but I like it.
Yeah.
Who did you see? Who was like, did you meet any media members?
Yeah.
Were you, so like, ooh.
Yeah, you walk in and they're all just like right there waiting for you to say hi to them. So I've always been a big Harry Mays and Jason Mertedis guy. So I met them. I got a picture with Mikey Miss. That guy's hair is fake. That is colored hair.
Oh yeah.
He spends a lot of time at the salon.
Oh, he's got his chestnut highlights in every week.
Oh yeah. And then I was there with a buddy who was an umpire in the minor leagues, and he actually umpired Doc Holliday, and he showed it to Gargano, and Gargano lost his mind. He's like, "Whoa, cuz bro, I'll show you this." They're all out there on there. They think they're famous for a day. And I mean, in a little bit they are, cuz it's Philadelphia and Philadelphia loves its sports radio, but I did go once. I won't go back. At least I could say I experienced that, and I've experienced the Wing Bowl. Have you been to a Wing Bowl?
I have been to a Wing Bowl. I went, it must have been like 2004. I was home from college on winter break, and I convinced a friend of mine to come with me. It was a nightmare. It was the highlight of the day was getting free parking in the then being constructed Lincoln Financial Field. We parked where all of the construction workers were parking.
That's crazy.
We got free parking. Yeah, that's the highlight of the day.
Look, if you think you're going to pay for something and it comes out to be free, it's always a highlight. I feel like the Wing Bowl, and it's a shame that it went away, was kind of like a Philadelphia sports fan rite of passage. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got to stand in that cold parking lot at 3 a.m., freeze their nuts off, and try and slug down beers before that 6 a.m. start. So I think it's a rite of passage. I think that's kind of what's wrong with the United States nowadays, that we're not, you know, building grown strong men in the icy weather air of Lincoln Financial Field parking lots at 3 a.m.
Very soft.
And that's where we can transition right to a soft team called the Philadelphia 76ers. quick update. Still haven't watched a second of Sixers playoff basketball. I'm just not interested. And here's why. I just know they're not going to win. So, like, it's – I'm over him at this point. I don't care. I hate Doc Rivers. I hate him. I think he's the most hateable person to ever be in this city. I'll put him right up there with Chip Kelly in terms of hateability. I just hate the guy.
He has not done himself any favors with some of his sound bites this season. The top 15 coach of all time, would you say that to Pop? His latest one last night saying that we're going to keep starting DeAndre Jordan. We like him. We don't care what anyone else thinks.
Yeah.
It's the man. It's a man with one foot out the door. Like he's got his sights set on Los Angeles, I think.
Yeah, but isn't Nick Nurse also have his sights set on that Los Angeles?
Yeah, but is Nick Nurse a top 15 coach of all time?
I mean, it's like Doc Rivers. People are asking. but it's just like, where do you come down with Sixers fatigue at this point? Because you kind of have to have it. It's almost like we've gone through the process. We've been promised this thing. They finally make the trade. It's for a guy who, for lack of a better word, is a little bit washed. And now I feel like they're just like stuck either in committing and going back into purgatory or being like, all right, now do we do another roster rehaul and try this all over again?
I delude myself every single postseason. Every single postseason, I say, this is the year, man. This is the year that they're going to make a big run. Embiid's going to stay healthy. They've got it all figured out. And certainly through the first three games in Toronto, you know, I was saying that this is it. You know, I will admit that coming into this postseason, I was a little more down on them than I normally am. You know, it was like you said, it's kind of been a been there, done that type of feel with this team. But then they shoot out of the gates, go up 3-0, that last second three in game three from Embiid. And that was it. And then the bad news started trickling in. The thumb injury. They lose the two games to the Raptors. All those bad thoughts started to creep back in, Gary. And here I am. I'm still deluded, though. Last night, and you could check my Twitter, I'm sure I was tweeting how the Sixers were going to steal a game in Miami. You know, Miami, they match up real well with Miami, which I still think they do. And if Embiid was healthy last night, I think they win that game rather easily. But he's hurt again. He's going to have to play with a mask. He's going to have, we've all forgot about his thumb being completely fucked up. Can I cuss on the show, by the way?
You can do whatever you want. You can say all shit, right. Fuck, piss, ass. Beautiful. I don't care.
And we all kind of forgot about that. And here we are again. And yeah. I almost envy you that you have not put a second of your life into this Sixers postseason run.
Yeah, it's unfortunate too, because last year, for some reason, I was interested and watched every game. This year, I just kind of knew it was coming. I'm even at the point where if I'm driving and the radio starts talking about the Sixers, I just turn that right off. Like, I'm just at this point, I'm just so done with them. And if they win the championship, I'll be right there at the parade with all of you celebrating. Like, beautiful. I watched every second.
Absolutely. That's how I feel about the Flyers at this point. I know you're not a Flyers fan, as I'm looking at your Islanders flag
it's
back there.
Obvious in the back, yeah.
But the Flyers, in that way, to me, I think I watched a grand total of, I would say, 20 minutes in total of this entire season. And I believe
they're a tough product right now.
And the only reason I think I watched 20 minutes is because I bet against them. And I was like, all right, I got to, you know, protect my investment and see how they're going to blow this. And of course, they lost.
Yeah. But so that's my problem. Like, I would do the same thing. I would bet on the Sixers last year. And for some reason, I'm just not betting on them. It's because I just lose every time. I don't know how to bet on the NBA. It's just one of those things I can't figure out.
You can't bet on the Sixers. It's, you know, where do you come down on betting on or against teams that you root for?
So I won't bet against them. If you in my life, I've played in a billion of those like pick 'em pools. I've had the Eagles going 16-0 every single year or 17-0 every year. I try really hard not to bet on the Eagles, but if I got a saucy live line, you know, second quarter, third quarter, you bet your ass I'm throwing money down on it. And it's even worse for me because I get so emotionally invested in it. And then I'm, you know, now financially invested and they just kind of rip my heart out. And that's where I kind of stopped, but I bet on college sports. I like to bet on the amateurs.
Okay. I like that. I just can't.
Yeah,
I can't do it. I can't divorce myself from the fandom of Philadelphia sports and the gambling aspect of Philadelphia sports.
Yeah, it's almost like taking like Ezekiel Elliott in fantasy, right? Like you just like don't want him to succeed at all. I actually, for a couple of years, walked away from playing fantasy totally and somehow came back to it. Nah, I just like didn't enjoy it anymore. Mm-hmm. So I'm officially retired from fantasy sports.
I can, you know, I can do that. I can take someone on the Cowboys. I don't know why I can do that. You know, take a hated player from the Cowboys or from the Giants in fantasy. But like, I can't do the thing where, you know, people say, oh, I'm going to bet against the Eagles. And hey, if they lose, I win money. But if they win, you know, I get the elation of them winning. And I'm just like, well, I'd be pissed off that I lost money. You know, I can't divorce that.
I feel like the people that are doing that are truly not like fans of the team. They're just like, or they're just trying to sound like they're a gambler while also being a fan. I don't know. I don't know. I would never go to bet against them. I just can't do it. I can't even pick against them. I think the one time I picked against the Eagles was a Chip Kelly game against the Patriots. And it was like the one where the Eagles somehow beat the Patriots with like a punt block and a punt return. And I'm like, what the hell am I doing here? So since then, I've never bet against them.
And you want to be happy. You want to be happy. You're like, yeah, I cannot believe they upset the Patriots. But then you're like, I also can't believe that I'm losing however much money that I bet on this crappy team that has disappointed me all year.
And it's funny because it's almost like the ebbs and flow of Philadelphia kind of really bared their ugly head just this week. I mean, the Sixers go and they dominate a game six. The Eagles do a great job of drafting in the first round for the first time ever. Mm-hmm. And then you just fast forward 24 hours later, the Phillies are getting no hit. And this, the Eagles are picking a backup center and we're all back to debating the misery of what is Philadelphia sports. Isn't it crazy how this town just loves to mess with our emotions?
It's, and that was a wild 24 hours. I remember saying to probably nobody in particular that Thursday, that draft night was one of the best non-championship winning, you know, playoff winning days in Philadelphia sports.
So we were on Twitter Spaces when the AJ Brown news came in. I told you guys live. I was like, holy shit. And I feel like it didn't come across the elation that I had because at the time I was still making sure I was correct. And at the point, Schefter had already had it out. So he did technically scoop me while I was scooping him at the same time.
We'll give it to you.
Yeah, I'll take the gun. Listen, if there's going to be credit to be had, I'll take it. If there's blame, Kyle can have that. But yeah, I mean, like, we can I mean, if you have anything else on the Sixers, we can talk about them. I feel like at this point, it's more like, what's the word? Melancholy? Encapsulate the spirit of melancholy. That's the 76ers.
I guess the only thing I'll say about the 76ers is I don't understand Rivers and his decision making at times. I really was not, I'll be honest, I was not too upset when with him keeping Embiid in game six. I got it. I got his decision making on that, whatever. But then he makes other decisions. Like last night, they were down eight in the third quarter, still very winnable game, still within the grasp of, you know, making a nice little comeback, getting right back in it. And out of a media timeout, he rolled out a lineup of Matisse Thybulle, Furkan Korkmaz, who had played like 1 minute earlier in the game, Harris, Maxey, and Paul Reed. And it's like, you can't, that one of my co-hosts on Let's Go to the Phones, shout out.
Yeah, shout out them.
Yeah, he coined it as being a December Charlotte lineup. Like that's a lineup you're going to see like on December 13th against the Charlotte Hornets, you know, where they just don't give a shit, but not in the first game of the NBA Plus. You can't roll that lineup out there and expect any good to come of it. And I just don't see what he sees in some of these moves. That's all I'll say. And it's melancholy. It's just beating a dead horse at this point because everyone's been saying that the entire year. And I just, you know, aside of Embiid coming back game three, they're just fucked. They're fucked against the Heat.
Yeah, it just seems like it has like the major vibes of the early 2000s Eagles where it's like they're going to be close but no cigar for so long. And this whole second round exits. And I know the Kawhi Leonard one hurts the most because like it was a trick shot that essentially fell. And it, you know, from then it's just been downfall and downfall and downfall. And it just seems like they can't get it right. And then, you know, you have to go through the whole Ben Simmons saga and all that kind of crap. I'm just, this team has legitimately just beat me down. And it just reminds me of why I don't like basketball so much. I just don't have the emotional wherewithal to ride with this team right now. I just don't have it.
I love it. It's one of my favorite sports to watch. I mean, it's between that and football, easily my favorite sport to play. Yeah, I'm so easy to get invested in the Sixers, but it's just the same thing every year. Second round loss, Embiid gets hurt, everyone's hopes get up, and then the next year we're talking about, well, we have to get a better roster around Embiid. We have to find somebody that can shoot. We have to find somebody that can shoot threes. And that's what it's going to be in this offseason. Cause now you're like, what do you do with Harden? Do you at this point, you just have to hope he opts into his player is his option and takes the $47 million. You just have to hope that's what it is.
Well, that's the annoying thing too. Cause you're kind of like stuck and it seems like it's kind of a foregone conclusion because him and Morey are obviously boys. And then, you know, how much say does he actually have in the coaching hire? Is it going to be Mike D'Antoni? Because that'll suck. I mean, I just don't know where they go from here. I think that's my frustration. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's been like three or four off seasons now where it's like, all right, we're going to add this piece and this is going to be the final piece. And it just has never turned out that way. And it just always comes down to, you know, Embiid just can't stay healthy and it's not his own fault. I mean, he just plays. He shouldn't have been in that game. There's no reason for him to be in that game when it was a blowout. And that's just Doc being an asshole. So I don't know.
I can't kill him that much for it. But I 100% see your point. Would I have liked to have seen him out? Like, yes. If he doesn't get hurt, if he didn't get hurt, though, I wouldn't have noticed him being in that game with whatever it was, like 3 or 4 minutes left in that blowout. Like, it's just, it happened. Everyone noticed it. Should he have been out there? I don't know, but it is what it is at this point. It is a wayward elbow from Pascal Siakam. And, you know, hey, we're back to square one with this Philadelphia 76.
He's just always out there breaking his orbital bone. Let me ask you this question. Do you think this would be high comedy? I really do believe this. So Claude Drew finally gets out of Philadelphia, right? He's going and playing against the Capitals in the first round of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Do you just think it would be kind of hilarious if the Florida Panthers just get swept out in the first round and he just just gets shipped off to lose again?
I don't even know what to think about Giroux at this point. I've always liked him. I never thought he was like the superstar that, you know, so many deluded Flyers fans convinced himself that he was. He was at one point top 10 player in the league. He was not top three, so many people had his years,
but he's never been like, he's never going to be a guy who's going to go out there and be your 30-40 goal scorer. I know he's done it a couple times, but he was always just kind of a playmaking forward. He was playing out of position for years and they never really surrounded him with talent. The most talent they gave him, the best chance, was Jaromír Jágr, and then the next year they just ship him out of there. Yeah. And it's tough to continue to hold on to a guy who's 40 some years old, but I just think it would be very high comedy for him to get traded to a big time contender and just get swept out in the first round by Ovechkin, who just refuses to disavow Putin. So it's just hysterical to me.
It would be a cruel twist of fate for Claude Giroux. I don't mind him. I do. And that's why let the guy have a cup. I don't care. What do you think about that?
I'm just like not a Flyers fan, but I do like the fact that they put him somewhere with a chance to win. When Kimmo Timonen went to the Blackhawks, I was like, you know what? I do not like the Flyers, but I always liked Kimmo Timonen. It's kind of hard not to like Kimmo. Unless you're a cancer patient, it's probably not, you don't probably love Kimmo, right? So there's a dark joke for everybody, but I was rooting for Kimmo and the Panthers to win a Stanley Cup that year because it would have just been nice to see him get one. So yeah, if he wins, I'd be excited for Claude, but at the same time, I think it'd be very funny for him just to get swept out in the first round.
I do like some of the Flyers conspiracy theorists that I see on social media that are convinced he's going to re-sign.
He's not. So the people that believe that he's not, there's a reason why he's in Florida. It's because they wouldn't commit to re-signing him. And he goes, then fuck it. I'm not going to give you any other team to sell me to. So you're going to sell me here and that's it.
No, but he bleeds. You forget he bleeds orange and black.
Gary. He doesn't. He's a professional athlete who has no interest in what you feel about him. He's there to make a bunch of money and try and win hockey games. I think people just need to remember that about professional athletes. They don't care about us.
No, they do not. And
they do not.
The organization is no organization in this city has soured me on them more than your Philadelphia Flyers. In the late 90s, early 2000s, like they are my team, man. I was so into hockey. I was so into the NHL. And then you just saw it was like the snake eating its own tail. You just saw every single year. It's like, oh, okay, so this is the year that we're not going to get a number one goalie. Okay, fine. Like, we're going to throw a fucking patchwork quilt of Brian Boucher and Rob Ash and Marty Biron, you know, at the wall and see what sticks.
Marty Biron, Michael Layton.
Yeah,
I remember Marty Biron. I had a Marty Biron jersey before I had declared my fandom to the Islanders.
Ooh, Sean Burke was in there at one point. If you remember Sean Burke, wow, that's
Antero Ninimaki. He was the MVP of the Olympics at one point.
It's just like it's the same thing every year with the franchise. And the less we talk about the Flyers, the better.
I just wanted to bring up the Giroux thing because I just see him getting scored on right now. And I'm like, this is hysterical if he just gets swept out in the first round.
Are the Islanders in the playoffs?
No, unfortunately, they're not. They just, you know, I was convinced that this was the year, you know, two consecutive trips to the Eastern Conference Final.
Mm-hmm.
The team just gets stuck with a 16-game road trip to begin the season. The whole team gets COVID. They just can't dig themselves out of the hole. Wound up missing the playoffs only by I think it was like 12 points, but they were right there. They really battled back at the end. They dug themselves in too deep of a hole, and that was that. But we'll be back. We'll be back next year.
There you go. Beautiful.
Mark my words. We'll be back. Love it. That's, go Islanders. That's the other thing, too. I don't have the time to put this much care and effort into the Sixers because I just really get deep into hockey season, and the Islanders are kind of my thing.
There you go.
If it's not the Eagles. So it's like it just kind of happens that way. But let's talk about your team, your town, your Philadelphia Eagles, not 76ers this time. A team that actually matters, a team that succeeds every once in a while, and a team that won the draft. I mean, if you really think about it, a lot of people giving them A-plus drafts. They won the draft. They got a lot of talent. Move up for Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean in the third round. I think his name's Cam Jurgen. He's the center of the future. And, of course, how can we get the wonderful trade for A.J. Brown? In less than 20, let's say a 72-hour period, your expectations went from how many wins to how many wins post-draft. So if you were saying before the draft, what were you thinking? Now after the draft with what you know you got, the known commodity in A.J. Brown, not like Treylon Burks or Jameson Williams, like, is he going to be good? Where do you kind of sit with the Eagles now?
I was expecting before the draft, I was expecting another 8 to 9 wins.
Yeah, I think a mediocre team that was going to be the 7th seed.
Yeah, you could another 9-8 season, something like that, at best. Now, I would almost say, I'll say
here we go.
11 wins.
Yeah, here we go.
11 wins.
I am so close to convincing myself to 12 to 13 wins, and I know that's not a real thing because they still don't have a safety or a corner. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think one thing that's being a little bit blown out of proportion, but at the same time, I'm going to use it as an argument against any other fan that roots for different teams, is there's going to be an instant chemistry between A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts because, ooh, guess what? They're best friends. They've been talking about it like crazy. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be one of those things where, you know, if you miss a pass, you miss a throw, it's not going to be – it's, I don't think it won't affect the locker room. So I'll use that talking point to the day I die. Like, no, they're best friends. It can't go wrong. It doesn't change the fact that Jalen Hurts is just not overly good at throwing a football.
Jalen Hurts is the godfather of A.J. Brown's kid. Or vice versa. I don't know which is the godfather of which is kid. But, I mean, they are best friends. Let me ask you this, though.
Yeah.
Brown's under contract for, what, 4 years, right?
Yes.
What happens next year if they decide to move on from Jalen Brown? Does Brown have any – is he like, all right, you brought me in here. It's my best friend. Now you're kicking him out the door already. Like, what happens there, coach? Talk me off that ledge.
I think I think Jalen has a little bit more of a leeway this year because of the situation with his friend, because you are looking at a locker room issue. At the same time, I think professional athletes understand that it is a business sometimes, and if it has to end, it has to end. At the end of the day, A.J. Brown's is going to want to win football games, because now that he has this money, I'm sure what he wants next is a Super Bowl ring. And I'm sure there's going to come to a point, like, look, I had a good friend once who was like, look, man, you're just like not that good at lacrosse. That's why you're riding the bench. I'm like, that's fair. I'm glad you said it. So I'm sure at some point AJ will just be like, look, man, you just can't throw the ball that far, and I'm going to have to sit you down. So I think if the trigger is pulled, you don't have to go talk to a wide receiver about it. Who have you already given $57 million of guaranteed money? You just shut up and play football at that point.
Yep. If he sees his, if he sees his numbers, AJ Brown sees his numbers plummet, and he can trace that back to Jalen, then it might be a little easier. It might be that spoonful of sugar to help that bad medicine go down if they move.
I mean, let's all like look at this too. I mean, this is a number one wide receiver coming to Philadelphia. I'm ready to just bet him not having 1,000 yards this year.
I could see that.
I could just, well, couldn't you just say it?
I could, but 17 games, that extra game will, I think that extra game kind of dilutes the 1,000 yard watershed mark for like elite receivers. I mean, like, it's like Smith got to 1,000 yards in that last game against that meaningless game against the Cowboys.
I did not know he had 1,000 yards last year.
No. He set the, he did not get 1,000 yards. He set the Eagles rookie record for yards in that game. And it was like 900 and something, I thought. But yeah, I mean, that'd be tough. Not if barring injury, it would be a bit of a, I don't want to say disaster, but it'd be a big letdown if he didn't even get to 1,000 yards. With 17,
would be 916 yards last year for Devontae Smith. So you were right on that. 64 receptions, 916 yards, 4 touchdowns is what we got last year. So it's just interesting to me, because I think it's almost like you're playing deja vu with a better roster, right? Because you know they're coming back with a very huge question mark at quarterback, and it really falls directly on him again. I feel like, look, I know me. I'm going to wind up talking myself into, like I already said, a 13-14 win Eagles game season. But I think for the first time, there's a little bit more to be happy about, because the team just seems so much more complete. They actually put a little time into thinking about adding some linebackers, right? So Kaiser White, and then you go draft N'Kobe Dean. God knows if he'll play, because this pec injury that keeps floating around. What did you make of that? Because when the second round pick came around, I remember just like closing my eyes, being like, just please say N'Kobe Dean, please say N'Kobe Dean, please say N'Kobe Dean. And then it's freaking Cam Jurgens. And I'm like, fuck, not a freaking offensive lineman. And I understand what they're doing. I do.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it was the most Eagles things to do at the time. Drafted offensive lineman, replaced your all pro center.
Yep. I have already talked myself into it. Masterful job by Howie didn't have this guy in the third round. But, and then there's always just like a little voice in the back of my head that's like, all right, 31 other teams passed on him going into the third, you know, twice. And a lot of them passing him again in the third round. It's like, what are they saying? What are their doctors seeing and telling the teams about this guy that the Eagles are not? You know, that's my like negative Nelly Philadelphia Eagles fan side coming out and being like, they have to know something that we don't. Like when they drafted him, I thought the word was that he was just out for the year. Like he was refusing surgery. He was going to rehab, and then he wasn't going to play at all this year. He's going to take he's basically going to redshirt the year. But now, you know, there are so many conflicting reports out there saying that, hey, like some doctors have cleared him, some haven't. Like his doctors have cleared him. I don't know what to make of it. Like if you get anything out of him this year and he's not like seriously injured, like you have to consider that a win, right?
Well, you can put your tinfoil hat on too, because there's people that say like he didn't sign with an agent and this agent put this out there, and that would be pretty like malicious. It's almost evil, like sociopath stuff. But I'm with you. I mean, look, if you watch enough college football and you watch enough of Georgia, you know the best player on that Georgia defense in college football was N'Kobe Dean. He was just the best player. Like, he was all over the place. Not saying he's going to translate to be the best player in, you know, the NFL, but like, you could see last year, he obviously pops on the field, but so did Baker Mayfield and so did Tim Tebow and all these other guys who succeed so heavily. But I think in terms of the steal and being able to take the risk, and the one thing is commit to getting a linebacker. And one thing Howie did on this, and I don't know if he realizes, I'm sure he's been here long enough. This city's been clamoring for him to draft a linebacker for so long. And the fact that he got a linebacker with a pedigree in the third round amplifies it, because if this was a guy who played for USC and was drafted in the third round, he would just be a depth linebacker piece. And we would talk about him, we'd be hopeful, but we're essentially acting like this guy is a first round pick. So his expectations coming in, N'Kobe Dean's coming into a lot of expectations here, and it'll be interesting to see how it's handled.
He is. It seems like, you know, certainly did not watch as much college football as you did, but I did watch a fair share of Georgia. And he was, like you said, head and shoulders pretty much above anyone else in that defense. And it is going to be interesting to see what kind of expectations are laid on his feet, because, yeah, like, he is injured. Everyone said, you know, a lot of the draft picks said that he was going to be a first round guy, but this injury really knocked him down. If he has a slow start, you know, are the fans going to be frustrated? Or are they just going to say, you know, this is going to be Sidney Jones all over again? They went bargain hunting with a guy that has high upside, but, you know, right, a shaky injury pass. I don't know. That's a good question. He seems like he's got a good head on his shoulders. He seems like a really smart guy. You just have to trust
3.5 in civil engineering.
Yeah. You just have to trust that he knows how his body is going to react, and he's pretty positive that he's going to play. So I guess, sure, why not?
My other favorite thing about the draft so far is that there's a debate over, obviously, Jordan Davis, right? So ton of debate on this was the right pick or not. Another guy who flashes on screen when he was attempting to play, he plays off. It's kind of hard not to see that. But have you ever heard another man's weight get so debated on the radio? Like, Jordan Davis has been debated. He hasn't even been here a week, and we're just debating if this guy has an eating issue. This is wildly speculating of his dietary habits. So obviously he eats a lot. He's a very big guy.
Yeah. He's uber athletic, and he's certainly not out of shape for what you want in just a space taking defensive tackle in the NFL. I don't, you know, these guys have so much help and dietary, you know, advice from the team and all sorts of nutritionists. Like, he'll be fine. You know, get a firm hand to help guide him, you know, get somebody to cook for him, keep the cheesesteaks down to a couple a week, and he'll be fine. You know what I mean?
Do you think he has a favorite cheesesteak place yet?
I'm waiting for a Brave media member to ask that, you know, hot question of him.
Yeah.
I see him as being like an off the radar type of guy. Yeah. He'd be like a Donkeys type of guy.
Ugh.
You're not a Donkeys guy, huh?
So here's a question for you. Now, you're also a Jersey guy as well, right?
I am.
You live on the good side of the river.
South Jersey, baby.
That's right. We're in South Jersey. If you want to dox your town, go for it. I'll say it first. I'm in Medford Lakes.
I'm in Heights, Haddon Heights.
Oh, okay. So we're not too far. Nice little quick trip down Route 70. So you have Donkeys in Camden. So you're actually talking the Camden route, right?
Yes, yes.
And there is a Donkeys place, too, in Medford, which I have been to once. I just don't like the Kaiser roll idea.
I don't mind it. And I'll be honest, I've been there like twice. And I probably haven't been there in like 15 years, so it could be rat shit for all I know.
It's dangerous over there now.
It really is. I actually used to work in Cooper Hospital, and I would go there every now and again for lunch. I'm fine with it. I'm not like cheesesteaks. I'll be honest, I'll take it or leave it.
Yeah.
I put ketchup on it. People freak out when I put ketchup on it.
I mean, ketchup belongs on a cheesesteak. There's no problem with that.
Yeah, people still freak out about it.
I think me and you have actually were in agreement on this, and this is actually a good transition. We'll talk about the Eagles in the end a little bit, but I think when Kevin Kincaid came out with that article about the cheesesteaks and it being such a tired conversation, me and you both on Twitter were like, thank you for your service on this one.
Oh, exactly.
Because I am so sick of hearing people's cheesesteak takes. It's a sandwich, guys.
It's all the same. Yeah, it's all the same.
They don't taste any different. Like the one thing, the question I would always ask is like, if you like it as a slab piece of steak or a chopped piece of steak, because there's your difference right there.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I'm a slab guy, and then there are people who are chopped guys. So
your steak
that'll always be my debate. Yeah, Steakums can't beat that. Gary's pre-made steaks. There's that thing.
Mm-hmm.
My own steak company.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, but I'm just so sick of the narrative. And if you like Pat's and Geno's, like you're a tourist, like who cares?
It's the same thing, man. And it all tastes the same at like 3 a.m. when you've, you know, been at Dirty Frank's for 8 hours and you just want something greasy to make the hangover a little more tolerable the next day. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, look, the cheesesteak is a cheesesteak. It's fine. It is what it is. There's not a whole lot of difference. I don't care if you go to Jim's, Geno's, Pat's, wherever. Like, if you want to get into, like, you know, I still think, you know, the Denick's roast pork is by far my favorite.
You're a roast pork guy. Okay.
I do. I'm a big Denick's guy. Love that roast pork at Denick's, the terminal. Can't beat it. But I'm not going to poo-poo a cheesesteak, and I'm not going to poo-poo one of the touristy spots. I just don't care.
No. Let me tell you something. Because of where I'm located in New Jersey, the easiest one for me to get to is Tony Luke's on East Oregon, and I probably go there more than anywhere in the world.
There you go.
Just the easiest thing to get to.
And I'm sure it tastes exactly the same.
It tastes exactly the same.
Or Pat's. Or Jim's, yeah, exactly.
I refuse to get Tony Luke's at Laurel Lanes, though. I just won't do that to myself. I'm not going to go into Laurel Lanes. You know what I always found it crazy? Now we can just get into South Jersey talk because we finally have another podcast.
This is why I came on the show.
Yeah, this would be great. So all the Philadelphia listeners, you can just go ahead and tune right out now.
Mm-hmm.
You know how Laurel Lanes has that bar, Splitsville? Did you know that's just like a bar anyone can go to?
No.
Could you imagine being a guy who drinks at a bowling alley?
You know, I could see myself drinking at a bowling alley. I'm a big dive bar, not non-clubby type of guy. Like, I could 100% see myself in my younger days being like, all right, I'm going to Splitsville. We get a couple $2 PBRs, maybe roll a couple frames. But then if you're drinking at a bar, if you're drinking at a bar in a bowling alley, I feel like you'd have to own your own bowling shoes and your bowling ball. And I'm not going to make that type of investment.
But this bar is like separate from, there's a bar in the bowling alley, but then there's another bar.
Okay.
Like in the private area, just called Splitsville with the Tony Luke's, shares the same space. So it's imagine just being the guy that goes there to drink at that bar.
And never bowls. Okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Like he's not a bowler. He's there to drink.
I could still see myself doing it.
Maybe
I
in
could.
The. Yeah. Okay.
I really could. Like,
let me tell you something. If you serve beer, I'll probably come.
Exactly. Like, I don't know how well you know this area, but like, friggin' Pat's Pub used to be my jam, the scuzziest bar in Westmont. I just any like divey place, I always enjoy. I'll always talk myself into.
Now, how do you have a take on Prospectors?
You're gonna have to remind me what Prospectors is.
Prospectors is like it's like a southern hoedown bar in Mount Laurel, New Jersey.
I don't think I've ever been there.
Off Route 38. Garth Brooks once did a concert there. That's like their claim to fame.
I you know, I've never been there, but I got nothing against it.
They have a great salad bar.
Really?
I'm just going to go ahead and say it.
That might be.
It's more of a restaurant, less of a bar, but they call it a saloon.
Okay. It's like a honky tonk place, like a honky tonk.
Yeah, it's
bar.
A honky tonk. You go line dancing over there if you really wanted to.
All right. I dig it.
Pick up a nice Southern Belle from South Jersey.
Never been to Nashville, and I heard it's a great time. So I think you get some good Nashville vibes for Prospectors.
You don't have to go to Nashville if you've been to Prospectors. It's like, you're like, I don't need to go to Germany because I've been to Epcot. There's just no reason for me to go.
Oh, okay.
All right, same thing, right?
I'll get the little lady out to Prospectors for a date night. Leave the kid at home, get my boots on, do some line dancing. Oh, it'll be good time. Good excuse.
Do you have any
to
other
wear
solid
belt buckle?
Do you have any other solid South Jersey takes for some reason? Like the one thing that always bothers me about New Jersey, like being a Jersey guy, is all the Pennsylvania people that just flock to see Isle City for some reason.
Good South Jersey takes. I lived in the city for my 20s, and I was always like, oh, I'm going to live in this city till the day I die. Then, you know, when I was like, all right, it's time to like get married and start a family, I could not get out of Philadelphia fast enough.
Yeah. You are the meme. You are that, you're that progressive commercial where they're we're never having kids. You have four kids.
Exactly. Oh, one kid and no more, but
no more kids,
no more after this one. But yeah, I mean, like, hey, I love not having to pay the stupid city tax anymore.
Yep.
I love having a yard.
Yep.
I love being able, and you know, like, just right where I am, I'm 10 minute drive into the city or jump on the high speed line. I'm right in there. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. All
you are in a good spot. The Patco high speed line is the best. You can't beat it.
You really
just got to watch that Ferry Ave exit. And City Hall. There's been a couple down. Here's a question for you. Have you ever taken the River Line?
I have not ever taken. Well,
here's a suggestion
Maybe once as a kid. I don't know.
Yeah. Here's a suggestion for you. Just go ahead and pass on that one.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a different world on the River Line. It goes from Camden to Trenton, and it's a very different world.
I'm not about. Yeah. I guess I'm not made for the River Line.
No. And it's a collection of characters. Let me tell you. It is something.
Maybe I would have like going to like a concert at the old back in the day when it was called the Tweeter Center.
Maybe. You can't beat a concert at the Tweeter Center, man.
Oh my God. I've seen so many great concerts at the Tweeter Center and so many just awful concerts.
So I am that meme where I've seen Dave Matthews about 45 times.
Oh, you're a big Dave guy.
Big Dave guy. I don't think you can see it. Between the dose acts is a big Dave Matthews poster there.
All right.
From his indoor show at Wells Fargo. I want to say it was in 2018.
All right. I think I've been to a Dave Matthews lot in my high school days.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you can. Great tailgates, a lot of weed going around. Dave Matthews band show, so you can't beat that. I love how we went from the Doc Rivers being the worst person ever to you winning Wildfire Podcasting to, you know, Jordan Davis weight issues to just us talking about our favorite places in South Jersey.
That's right. I will bring this up too. But did you see Hassan Reddick's tweet from earlier today about the Cowboys?
No, I didn't. What did he say?
He said, if you're a family member / friend of mine and you are a Cowgirls fan, do not ask me for tickets. It's causing quite the uproar on your Twitter. What do you think about that? Is that too much pandering? About as much pandering as you can stomach? Are you all for it?
It's funny because the Cowgirls thing takes it to the next level. Putting it out there, he's essentially admitting that in his family he has weasels, essentially Cowboys fans that live here, have never been to Texas. I don't think there's enough pandering you can do to make fun of the Cowboys fans that live in the South Jersey, Philadelphia area, because they literally are the scum of the earth. So I'm okay with it. I wish he would double down and just call him a bunch of like very inappropriate things.
Well, Nick Sirianni pandered to the fans with a Waterboy shirt last year.
I mean, Kyle told me he got into the t-shirt game on that, and he said it was the dark underbelly of the world. It's the t-shirt game.
I've heard horror stories.
Yeah,
from Kyle Scott over at Crossing Broad about packing orders of t-shirts at like 3 o'clock in the morning as your crying wife is like telling you to come to bed. Just not something for me. Not something for me.
And the one thing that's annoying is Crossing Broad, when they were in the t-shirt game, had some solid t-shirts. I have a Crossing Broad sweatshirt.
Mm-hmm.
I have the Sundays is for the Bird sweatshirt. And then Kyle has the famous Ghost Bear one with the Grateful Dead bears.
Yeah.
Dressed up as flyers, man. That was a great shirt. And I wish they would bring it back.
I do have a couple. I think I bought a Matt Stairs shirt. It was use stairs in case of emergency shirt. Mm-hmm. That was a great shirt.
They always had good shirts. They did a good job. I mean, like Barstool does a terrible job doing Philly representative shirts. So it's also because for some reason Barstool is represented by Smitty, who just doesn't give a flying fuck about the city. But that's neither here nor there. I'm not going to come in here and just slander another podcaster's great name.
It's true.
Because he has responded to me at 3 a.m. when I told him Jimmy Rollins is better than Mike Schmidt. And he was like, you're an idiot. And I'm like, oh. Well, that's an argument for another day.
I think so. That's for someone more knowledgeable about the Phillies than myself.
All right, everybody. Well, this was a lot of fun, Coggin. Thanks for stepping in for Kyle, who's of course out, like we said, doing white girl things, exploring you know, different continents and broadening his horizons like a real loser.
That's right. Traipsing around Europe.
Kyle. Yeah. It's so cool that you have time and no kids and can do whatever you want at all times. Like, we get
seriously.
It, dude. Keep rubbing
seriously.
It in.
Maybe I'll go to Sesame Place this summer. That's like my big
trip. I'm pretty sure I have Storybook Land coming up.
You can't go wrong with Storybook Land.
Another South Jersey landmark.
There you go. Maybe Hershey Park later if you're feeling frisky.
Oh, I won't ride Skyrush again. I felt like I was going to fall out of it.
Enjoy Storybook Land. It's fun.
And let me
kids.
Tell you something. Here's my fatherhood tip of the day. Anything you do with your kid is a good time. So
there you go. Don't go to Sesame Place. Worst day of my life, bar none.
I just know it's coming. I know it's coming. I think we should have you back on at one point. Maybe we'll create a segment just called Misery Parenting Takes. And it can just be me, you, and Kincaid, and just give Kyle all the joys of what he's going to have when he eventually has a child. Even though it's the greatest thing in the world. Mm-hmm. Some of these days are just brutal.
That's right. Love my boy, but sometimes you just want to smash him right in the face. That's okay. Yeah. But you don't. And that's what makes you a good parent. So put your cut above the rest.
Instead, you just internalize it and you'll freak out in 25 years on your wife about something that doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Or give one of my go-tos is giving them the finger when I go into the other room. Like, I'll like give the finger to the wall and be like, all right, he's not seeing that. It's not hurting anybody.
Yeah. See, mine. Better. I know mine's only 11 months old. I think the only time I ever got angry, I was like, at a certain point, you just get sick of getting pissed on. You're like, all right, buddy, stop pissing on me.
And in 11 months, this is all about sleep, too. So anything with sleep, man, you can lose your fucking mind.
Let me tell you something. This guy goes to bed at 6:30, wakes up at 6:30. We have this boy trained to sleep.
Yeah. So one of the best things my kid did was just being a good sleeper. But
yeah.
No matter how good they are, there are still those nights.
I have a friend. Oh, my God. If he gets sick, I'm like, if my kid gets sick, he just doesn't sleep. And I'm like, this is the worst. But now this is just me and you talking personally, and we can do for hours. So, everybody, thank you very much for listening to the Water Boys podcast presented by Crossing Broad. We'll talk to you next week.